Our scripture tonight, I have you turn with me to Psalms. I'd like to read Psalm 121 and Psalm 124, looking particularly at Psalm 121. Let's hear the word of God. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And Psalm 124, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side, when men attacked us, when their anger flared up against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrents would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of a fowler's snare, the snare that has been broken, and we have been escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. May God bless these words to us this evening. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Lord, once again we turn to your word, the source of hope and life and light. We turn to your word as the word that you have given to us through the prophets and preserved in order that we might know you and your will. Grant that you'd encourage us by your promises, that you'd warn us by your scriptures, and that you teach us to walk in the ways that you would have us to go. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We often use as a call to worship Psalm 124, verse 8, which is, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made, or the maker of heaven and earth. We find that same statement in Psalm 121, verse 2, which, in perhaps even a more personal way, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God's people share a similar testimony. Each one of us have received help from the Lord. That help comes in many different ways, and I suppose we each could tell of how God has blessed us and helped us and provided for us as we go along. But one thing we all share in common, as believers in Christ, the help of salvation from sin through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the help that we have received and that makes it really more so wonderful. And that help is so desperately needed. Without that help, we could have a lot of things, but we would not have our basic needs met. If you noticed among the Psalms that we read, there's a heading on each one of them. It's called a Psalm of Ascent, or Song of Ascent. Psalm 120 through 134 all have the same heading. It was the custom of God's people to travel up to Jerusalem three times a year. They would do so at the Passover. They would celebrate the deliverance from Egypt. They would do so again at the Feast of Weeks, which was Pentecost. It would be the first fruits of the harvest. And then when the harvest was over, there would be the Feast of Tabernacles, again a celebration of God's goodness. And they would come from all the land, all over the country, and gather in Jerusalem to worship the Lord there. The people would come with their family and friends and neighbors. It was a joyful procession, you might say. Some people think that we discovered camping in our generation, that we go out camping and enjoy it. But these people did that at least three times a year as they traveled up to Jerusalem, camped along the way, had fellowship on the way. It was a regular thing for them to do so. But along the way, they would sing these psalms, and psalms of ascent, were especially psalms that were sung as they were traveling on the way to Jerusalem, as they walked through the villages and up through the hills to the city of Jerusalem, temple of the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord in these psalms. Now, if Psalm 121, you'll notice that first mentions that the hills or mountains are a special joy and comfort to the psalms, or to the psalmist. I will lift mine eyes up to the hills. Maybe some of you have traveled out west, driven out across the country, and when you've come to the mountains, is this amazing sight. We had lived in Pennsylvania for quite some time and saw the Appalachian Mountains, and they're mountains, but they're not so striking as when you meet the mountains out west. First time we saw them were the Bighorn Mountains. We saw them in the distance, and we kept driving and driving and driving, and still seemed like we weren't any closer. But we eventually did get there, and when you got to the mountains and started going up the mountain, the hairpin turns and all the steep sides that you say we ought to stay away from the edge of the road, even because you didn't know what might happen. But then you'd look around and you'd see a vast something in one direction, one another. You say, look over here, well, look over there, look over there, and see all these things that God has created. I don't understand how people can look at the mountains like that and not think of the Lord, the Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth, and to realize that all of these things were by His decree. But it's doubtful that the psalmist is talking just about mountains in general. Any mountains and hills might, but he's talking particularly about the mountains and the hills that the people in Israel traveled. They would lift my eyes to the hills, mountains. He's thinking of the hills of Jerusalem, the place where God's temple was, the place where God had revealed himself, the place where God met with his people. And so as they were traveling along and came to the hills, they knew that this was the place where God was present and they would be with him. Psalm 87, verses 1 and 2. He has set his foundations on the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. Or Psalm 125, verse 2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. The mountains are surrounding Jerusalem, and the Lord surrounds his people. Yeah, so these particular hills were a special comfort and encouragement to the psalmist, because the Lord had made himself known there. And there's where he met his people and where he blessed them. We read throughout the Psalms then of the hills. Psalm 3, verse 4. To the Lord I cry aloud because he answers me from his holy hill. And God came down there to bless. And so for God's people to lift up their eyes to the hills was to lift up their eyes and their hearts to the Lord, their Maker, the living God, the covenant God that they worshipped and served and that they knew. Secondly, psalmist acknowledges that his help comes from the Lord. He asks the question, where does my help come from? Then he almost immediately answers his own question. He adds, my help comes from the Lord. We should not be ashamed when we need help and to call for help. Someone's in danger. Someone's caught in an accident, was involved in a car accident. Someone is caught into a fire. Someone falls through the ice in the wintertime. And what do? Well, you call out, help, help anybody, help me, anybody that's there. And the person doesn't say, well, I don't want to bother anybody. I'll just try to help myself. No, if you really see the danger and know the desperate situation you're in, it's not wrong. In fact, you should call. Call out for help and encouragement as we can. And so when people call out for help, if you hear someone calling, what do? Well, you run to find out what it is or to call for help that's needed because somebody needs some help and we want to see that they get that help. Well, that's true not only for physical but also for our spiritual needs. We find that the person struggling with all kinds of problems, who's exhausted and alone, needs help. Or the person struggling with guilt, caught in some sin or weighed down by the result of his past sins, that person needs help. The person who's struggling to find purpose and meaning in life. We need to ask for help, to know where to find the help. Remember the parable that Jesus gave of the Pharisee and the publican? They both went to the temple. The Pharisee first, says, went to the temple and began to pray. And he prayed as one who didn't need any help, as one who had everything under control. He thanked the Lord for all the things the Lord had done, and so he reminded the Lord of how he had been faithful in fasting twice a week, how he had been faithful in tithing his income, how he had been faithful in all these things, not like some of these other sinners. But the publican who goes to worship, he cries out to the Lord, and he cries out, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And who is it, the one that receives the help, the one who needs help? Both of them needed help, but the one who recognizes his help, who calls on the Lord, and the Lord answers, and he receives that help. I received a letter from a man in prison in the Appleton area. His name was Eric. Anyway, he was a man who needs help. He said he needs help in just coping with life in prison day after day. But he also needs help when he gets out to get his life straightened out. He needs help to deal with those that he injured and hurt when he was, and some of the reasons he got into prison. And yet, while he needs help, he admits that help. Whether he'll really look for that help once he gets out. So often when you're in desperate need, you cry out, but as soon as pressure is off, you forget that you needed that help. And so only the Lord knows how it will turn out in terms of other things. But the point is that we should not be ashamed to seek help or to ask for help. Spiritually, we are all in need of help. We need more than just a little help. We confess that we are helpless sinners. We cannot save ourselves. We need the Lord, and we cry out to Him. Now, the person in jail is someone who struggles in life, obviously needs help. But the person who doesn't feel like he needs help is the one that really needs help most of all. First of all, he needs help to see his danger, his spiritual situation, and to cry out to the Lord. You know, we come into this world as sinners in rebellion against God. We're programmed by a sinful nature to seek ourselves, to follow our own wisdom, to live a life in our own way. There's a way that seems right to a man, we're told, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. So many people are following a way that they think are the right way, but ultimately it leads not to life and blessing, but rather to judgment and death. Now, when some people realize they need a little help, they may turn to the wrong places. I mean, where do you go for help? Some look for education. Some think if we just had a little more money. Some think that if we had better friends or family. Some look to man-made religion or false gods. There are many places where people turn for help. Don't just assume that somebody who's looking for help is looking for God's help. Sometimes they're doing just the opposite. They're looking for help, but not the help from God. They don't want that kind of help. They want some other kind of help. There's a story, I guess, of somebody was falling over the edge of a cliff and was hanging on, and he cried out for help, and somebody answered, "Let go, it will catch you." He said, "Anybody else up there?" And that's almost the way it is with the Lord. When you look into the Scriptures and find the counsel of God and His Word, well, anybody else besides that? So don't assume that people who are looking for help are always looking to the Lord for help, where they should be. And yet the psalmist declares, "My help comes from the Lord. It's the Lord who is the maker of heaven and earth." His first thought is that God has the power to help. God has the power. He made all things by the word of His power. He spoke and it came to pass, Psalm 33, verse 9. He's the creator who made the stars above. He created the mountains and the oceans. He created Adam from the dust of the earth and breathed into him, and Adam became a living being. So He has the power to create and the power to sustain and the power to bring all this into being. It's the same Lord who was born into our flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess I grew up thinking the Father was the Creator and the Son was the Redeemer. But if you remember the Scriptures, you know that the first chapter of John talks about Jesus as the one that all things were made through Him, and that without Him was nothing that was made that was made. So if anyone has the power to help, surely it's the Lord, able to help those who look to Him. Now the Lord is not the maker, just the maker of heaven and earth, but He is my Creator. Me personally, He has made as part of His creation, and I'm dependent upon Him for my existence every day. He's the one who sustains me day by day. He's the one who's there. Even if I didn't recognize this, even if I just went about my living and not didn't recognize, He's still the one who's there helping and upholding. As His creature, it's my desire, and it should be my desire, to look to Him for His help and acknowledge that. In the third place, the psalmist goes on to specify that the help of the Lord gives it. He said, verse 3, He will not let your foot slip. Remember Jonathan Edwards' powerful sermon, famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? That was based on Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. It is mine to avenge, I will repay. In due time, their foot will slip. He made clear that God has, that without God we are in a precarious position. Though the unbeliever may seem to enjoy security, may be established at the moment, yet the foundation of their lives is a very slippery place and was about to slide away. It will leave them in a place of God's judgment, in Hades and the torments of hell. And Jonathan Edwards pointed this out very powerfully as he showed that your foot will slip, they will not stand, and without the repentance and calling out to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is in desperate need and will soon perish. So he urged people to repent, to abandon the slippery place, to take their stand on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the promise of our text, Psalm 121. He will not let your foot slip. The Lord provides a solid place to stand, a sure and certain footing, a foundation that will never give away. God's word endures forever. His grace provides an atonement for sin and life that is eternal. Built on this foundation, built on the Lord Jesus Christ, built on what he has done for us, we have that foundation and our foot will never slip. And the Lord is constantly watching over his people. Not one of us is ever out of his care, out of his sight. The Lord never takes a nap. He doesn't need 8 hours of sleep every night. You never are out of his sight. Day by day, he watches us. In the daytime, while the sun shines, at night, while the moon's out, he will not let you or harm come to any one of his people, at home or away, at school or at work, or going to live in another state. He's watching over you. He's always there, constantly caring for us, and he will keep watch. He will protect in this life and in the next. To say your foot will not slip, is that a promise that you'll never fall, that you'll never break a leg, that you'll never break a hip? Well, it means that God deals with the basic problem of our life. If somebody falls and breaks a bone, we don't say, well, the Lord wasn't watching over him. But we do say that in our relationship to him, the living God, we're building our lives on a solid foundation. We may be troubled by meeting our bills, we may be troubled by holding our family together, getting a passing grade in school, failing or dealing with our medical problems. We need help in all these areas. And yet, suppose the Lord helped us in every one of those areas, but didn't help us in our basic spiritual need, we would miss the most basic things we need. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, I know that. And I know that when I think of neighbors and I think of others that are without Christ. And it should motivate me more than it does to go and say, you're not building on a solid foundation. Jesus said, what shall a man, or he said, fear not him who is able to destroy body, but him who is able to cast both body and soul into hell. He will not let your foot slip. Someone without God's help, in due time, his foot will surely slip. We're told in 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no one can lay any foundation other than already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Those who stand on Christ, build their lives on him, on his righteousness, on his blood shed for us, you or me, our foot will never slip as long as we're built on that solid foundation. The foundation cannot be shaken, and we have God's word for that. The hymn writer captures it in these words, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand, it's slippery. There's no slipping, no falling when you're standing on this foundation. The Apostle Paul says, as we're reminded this morning from Romans 8, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Truly, the believer can say, my help comes from the Lord. We say that about our salvation. We say that about our material needs. We say that about our interrelationships, that our help is from the Lord. Fourth place, then, the psalm is an encouragement for you and me to seek the Lord. I will lift my eyes to the hills, to the Lord. It's important that we actively seek God's help, that we turn to him for help, and that we expect help to come from him. Back in Illinois, I served as a volunteer chaplain in one of the local hospitals, and we would each be asked to take an afternoon and go and just visit some of the patients, sometimes checking with the nurses anybody needed to call. Well, I developed a kind of an approach where I would ask people as I met and came into their lives, do you find the Lord to be of help to you? And you get all kinds of responses. One response would be, oh, yes, I do. I couldn't get along without the Lord. Surely He's helped me all my life. Sometimes the response would be, I'm not so sure. As I pray and I ask God to heal for healing and for help, but maybe I'm not, does God really care? Maybe I'm asking the right way. Then once in a while you'd come across someone who was really upset. He said, I don't need the Lord's help. Religion is only a crutch for weak people. So you get all kinds of responses, but I would personally say I'm grateful for the Lord's help. When I think of God's help in my life, the wisdom that he gives from his word, the instruction he gives on how to live my life and how to please him, these are things that help me live day by day. I'm grateful too what the Lord has done for me in Jesus Christ. My failures, my disobedience, my unloving actions, he doesn't condemn me for those. Rather, he has sent his son to deal with those sins, to bear the punishment that I deserve. Instead, he gives me the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so, he's my help and my salvation. I'm grateful then for the help that I've received ever since I come to know him as a young person. Grateful for the help in my ministry. The Lord has given me strength and patience and wisdom. He's given me family and fellow believers to encourage me, supply the perseverance to deal with trials that come in my life. How can I begin to list all the ways in which the Lord has helped me? So where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. The psalmist declares that, and that's where he continues then to seek his help. He also encourages us all to do the same. He assures us that the Lord will help. The Lord will keep you. He will watch over your life. How do you find the Lord's help? Well, you go to him in faith. Go to him believing that he is able, that he is willing to help those who call upon him. Hebrews 11, verse 6, the important verse, without faith, what? It is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must do what? Believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. He helps those who come to him for help, who earnestly seek him. Sometimes you hear the quotations that the Lord helps those who help themselves. Well, that's not in the Bible anywhere. I suppose the idea is that you don't just say, well, you just pray to the Lord and then sit back and do nothing. That there's a responsibility we have. But when you look at the scriptures, it isn't that the Lord helps those who help themselves. It's the Lord who helps those who can't help themselves. It's a recognition that we're helpless and in need of the Lord. And that our help comes from him because we can't help ourselves and because we don't have the answers apart from him. So come to him in faith, believing. Come to him in prayer. Ask for what you need. Consider all the promises made to those who pray. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds, we're told. Or John 15, verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will, and it will be given you. In other words, he will give you the help you ask when you ask for that which you really need. When I look at the scriptures and the promises to prayer, I am ashamed that we don't pray nearly as much as we should or take our things immediately to the Lord. For the promises to those who pray in Christ's name are wonderful, amazing, and we experience them, but we could experience it certainly more than that. So go to him in prayer. Go to him in his word. Brian emphasizes the word again. Read the scriptures. This is God's word. Read the scriptures. This is his counsel and encouragement to you. Read the scriptures. These are the promises that he has made for us. 1 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Here is help in God's word. Help in wisdom, in direction, in correction, in training. Help for those who read and follow that word. The counsel then for me that he gives to me is the same today as it was when I first began my ministry. The counsel is that I should go to Him as the source of my help. When you begin your ministry, you find out that while you thought you were prepared, there's many things you weren't prepared for at all. You need God's wisdom and help in new situations every day and every week. And yet, as we get older, there are new challenges and new opportunities, new situations that we face as well. And we all need that same counsel from the Lord and that help that He gives. So the promise to me and to you also is He's the source of the help that we need and that He gives. So remember, He's ready to help those who look to Him in faith. Nothing is impossible to God. You never come to God and God will say, well, I'd like to help you out, but you know, I really don't know what to do either. I could help you, but I don't know if I could do that. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing ever interrupts His love or care for us. He never has to say, I would like to help, but I can't. My help comes from the Lord. And I trust that your experience and your grace and your testimony. May God give you that grace then to be faithful in seeking His help in each situation and not waiting till finally say, well, I guess there's nothing else to do now. I'll see if I can pray. But rather begin to pray and look for Him day by day. May God give you that grace. Let's pray now. Our Father and our God, we look to You and thank You for the help that we have received at Your hand. We thank You too that You have not turned us away when we come sincerely in the Lord Jesus Christ. But again and again You have been there faithful for us. May we be guided and directed, and may we be confident as we live our lives knowing that You are with us and that Your help is sufficient. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.